Amen. Remain standing as we share our scripture this morning from James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. If you haven't had a chance thus far while we're turning there, turn to someone and tell them good morning. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord is at hand, or it draweth nigh. You may be seated. We want to preach from the message, the reward of patience, the reward of patience. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have to worship you. And God, as Deacon Graves prayed, Lord, we realize that we owe you so much, God. We are thankful for everything that you've done and recognize your presence today. And Father God, we just ask that you would speak to our hearts, help us to share the riches of your word. For Lord, your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. And we hide it in our hearts that we may not sin against you. Help us indeed, Lord, to grow by your word. And in growing, we would give you glory and we give you praise. Change us by what we hear. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed change us for the good. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sakes. Amen and amen. The reward of patience. We're still looking at the subject, searching for real faith. Searching for real faith. It is possible for us to have what we call ceremonial faith, whereas we are only concerned with certain rituals and things that we do when we come together and worship. You know, someone might say, well, praise the Lord. And then we might respond, well, praise the Lord. As I've heard people say when they come in, everybody praise the Lord. And so everybody, they'll praise the Lord. That's ceremonial. And while it does have meaning and it does have impact, what we want is a faith that really works. We want a faith that we can not only praise and thank God, but we can ask God to guide us and teach us his ways so that we might learn of him, that he might learn and that we might learn the things that he would have us to know and the things that he would have us to do. One of these ways that we learn is through a process called patience. Patience. Early on in the book of James, he says, let patience have its perfect work. Now, we don't like patience, but we understand what it means. How many of you have sat in a doctor's office and you waited for the doctor? You felt like leaving, but your problem told you you need to stay. Your situation said, don't go anywhere. The doctor will be with you. And you probably would go up to the counter and you'd ask him, how long? My appointment was for such and such a time and it's already past that appointed time. But you go back to your seat and you wait because you know that it's a good doctor. Well, James is telling us that we're waiting for something. We're not necessarily waiting for the next blessing to come or the next breakthrough to come in our life. We're waiting for something in particular, and it's called the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Now, while this culture may not look at that with significance, the Jewish culture knew exactly what it meant. They knew that the fulfillment of God's plan would come upon the earth. They knew that God would bring about something so great and so powerful. He had made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob that he would fulfill his word, not only giving them a nation, but bringing peace throughout all the world. And everything would be under the control of God Almighty. That was the coming of the Lord. He says it two times in this verse. He says, brethren, I want you to be patient until the coming of the Lord. Then he says, be also patient, establish your heart, For the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Now, we need to explore a couple of things. Patience. But then we ought to understand that in relationship with what we call the coming of the Lord. This is a word of encouragement for us. Because we're in a society now where everything is fast-paced. Keep it moving. Just keep going. Well, the Bible is telling us now, slow down. You can't make everything happen by haste and pace. You've got to know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Be patient, brethren. Now, why is He saying that to this people, this group of people? Well, if you notice, they're scattered abroad. They are scattered throughout the Roman Empire. Many of them are being hated because they're Jews, number one. But then they're being hated because they're Jews that believe in Jesus. So not only do they are they facing persecution by the Romans and being in the Roman Empire, they're facing persecution by Jews who don't believe in Jesus. And so He's telling them, be patient. Now, it's easy to say be patient when you know you're wrong and you need to stop. Anybody in the house? But when you know you're right, or at least you know that you're standing for what's right, and you're told, be patient. What do you mean, be patient? I'm looking for results. I want things to happen. Look, I'm no longer doing bad. I'm doing good. I'm standing up for God. Where is God? Where's the Lord, and where's my breakthrough? Because He said that if we would call, He would what? Answer. Now, James is saying, be patient unto the coming of the Lord because God's going to fix this thing. Yes. Amen. Amen. It might not be right now. It might not be in my lifetime, but God's going to fix this thing. Look at somebody and tell them, God's going to fix it. Yeah, y'all didn't mean that. You just did that because I said that. And we struggle with that. We struggle with daily knowing I got to face the problem, I got to face the issue. The Jews, the Messianic Jews of that day, they would wake up and say, man, I got to go through this again. And here comes this letter of comfort, this word of encouragement from James saying, wait a minute, be patient. While you're waiting for conditions to change, you need to know what's really coming. And I don't care what people are saying. They're worried about this one being in office and that one being in office. I'm just concerned who's on the throne. Amen. Because even if we elect somebody, you don't know whether they're going to do everything that's right. Amen. Because they're men. Amen. Do I have anybody in the house that see what I'm saying? Amen. So you can't put your trust in man, and you need to pray for man. Yeah. Because evidently God wanted certain things to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be that way. Amen. Help me, somebody. Amen. You got to be patient. You got to learn how to lean upon the Lord and not on your own understanding. God's going to work this thing out. God's going to work this thing out. The Jews had to endure a lot of hardship, but they knew that God would work it out. And so what we've got to do is look for the reward of patience. And the reward that the saints have is that the Lord is going to come. Amen. He'll show up. He's right on time. He's never late for His appointments, but He's not on your time clock. All right. He doesn't have to clock in every time you need Him. All right. Preach. Anybody in the house? Amen. He doesn't have to answer to you. He's not, amen. In other words, you're not personnel when it comes to God. Right. You're not HR. You don't tell God what He needs to do. You simply pray and leave it in His hand, and the Lord will, huh? Yes, He will. He'll work it out. So here we go. Here we look at this reward. What is and the question that you and I need to be asking at this time? What is the reward of patience? And James will use the example of a farmer. The first thing that we want to say to you is that your soul depends on patience. My soul depends on patience. Now, he's using the analogy of a farmer. That farmer will never see the results of the fruits or the seed that he planted if he's just impatient. Just walk away from the field. He's got to wait until that harvest comes in. And I'm asking you today, please wait until God brings in your harvest. Don't get ahead of him. Don't tell him what he needs to do. Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Am I encouraging anybody? So our soul depends on patience. Jesus said this in Luke 21. He was actually talking about the end time and what was going to happen in the end time. And right in the middle of it, he says, in your patience, you possess your soul. Now, what is he talking about? You can lose heart. You can say to yourself, I'm going to give up on my faith. God didn't give me what I wanted when I wanted it, so I'm going to give up on God. That doesn't stop God from being God. Did you not know that he's the God of the resurrection, which means after death, then comes life? Am I talking to somebody? Some of you have seen your dreams die. You've seen situations come in your life and things didn't work out the way that you wanted to. But let me tell you something. My grandma said, God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. If you would hold on to his unchanging hand, God will work it out. Now, how is your soul possessed? How is your soul possessed in patience? Now, you've got God's word working mightily in you. You don't see the results right now, but you know that God, every time God moves, God will bring something to pass. Are y'all with me? We on the same page? Now, you have planted your faith on what God said. You put your faith right there and say, well, God said this. Now, what he's saying is your soul is hanging on what God said. Don't go back and snatch it up. I seen my daddy do a lot of things on the farm, but I've never seen him go through the field and pull up everything he'd plant. Are y'all with me? Even though it looked like it was just little, you know how it is when the sun just wilted? And the seed won't grow. I never seen him go through the field and pull up the tomato plant. Well, it's wilted. Are y'all in the house?
Amen.
So when God tells you something, don't grow weary. Don't get faint-hearted on God. Don't lose your faith because of what you're going through. Because the Lord will bring it to pass. Even when you start seeing stuff, you see the destruction of things around you. As David said, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. He was talking about the coming of the Lord. My circumstances can change, but God does not change. My situations might change, but God does not change. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
So this word tells us that our soul depends on this thing called patience. Don't leave the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly.
Yes.
Hang in there. Read a book. That's why they put those magazines there.
Yes.
So you can read a book. But in your case, God put a different magazine. He put the book of life there. Amen.
Yes.
Not Life magazine, but he put the book of life. Do I have a witness here? And while you engross yourself in God's word, God will teach you while you're in the waiting room, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't start leaning on your own understanding. You know, I watch folk that Miss Carol, they would walk out of the waiting room. And I knew two things. Number one, if you walk out of the waiting room, they're going to charge you for a no-show. That's number one. Because even though nobody came out to serve you, you still gonna pay for that appointment. All right?
Yeah.
But the second thing is, if you really need a doctor, now you gotta go back and make another.
Yes.
I'm gonna wait in line, amen?
Amen.
God's gonna come through after a while.
Yes.
He may not come when I want him to. Oh, I gotta hurry up in here. I gotta preach. Anybody with me so far?
Yes.
So your soul depends on this. Now, here's the thing that we've got to understand is when he says be patient, he wants us to be still and what? Know that he is God. Know that he is God. Settle on that. Now, I know who you say you are. And I know who you want to be. But hang in there. Whatever you want to be, God's got to make you. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. So He's saying, be patient, brethren. Be patient, patient, fellow Jews, because the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. All right, so here we go. With Christ's return, there are two ways of thinking about this. You know, people say, well, the Lord's coming back. So one group says that's going to be glory and righteousness. We're just going to have a good time in the Lord when the Lord comes back. Amen. And that's true? Yeah, that's true. But then the other group says that's judgment. God's going to come through and punish the wicked. So on the one hand, you have those that might be saying to themselves, well, my problem ain't that bad, so the Lord can hold on a little while. You know, because they're saying He's going to bring in His glory and His righteousness. I'm doing pretty good right now. Job paying real good, you know. Amen. I got a new car and all this stuff. I don't want the Lord to come right now. I'm enjoying life. Come on. Right? Then you got the other group that says, well, wait a minute. Judgment is coming. It's going to be here any day. All right? So on one hand, you got people that are putting off heaven. They don't want it to come right now. Then on the other hand, you got folks scaring them into the kingdom. Now, both are true. Both are true. When He comes, He will establish righteousness and glory. And when He comes, He will bring in the judgment and punishment of the wicked. The book of Revelation says so. So what you got to do in your heart and in your mind and your patience, recognize that, yes, I want His righteousness to come. But in the process, I want God to make me like Him. So that when He comes, I will not only be like Him, but I'll have a little time to walk like Him and to talk like Him and act like Him. This is what James is talking about when he talks about working out your faith. Christ working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You got to understand what Christ's returns mean. It means that we shall be like Him, but it also means that the wickedness will end and the trouble will be over. As we think about this hymn by Julia Ward Howe, and how she wrote this hymn is right before the Civil War. As they started the Civil War, she wrote this hymn. But notice she was not just talking about that period of time. It's called the Battle Hymn of Republic because it was written for people to keep their faith in the midst of the battle, right? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. You keep your focus on God even when you're going through the battle. But then when she gets to the fourth verse, she said, wait a minute. All this war that we're going through, it's going to end. What do we really need to look at? When Christ, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in His bosom that transfigures you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, that ain't going to change. Christ had been saving down through the generation. Do I have a witness here? And He's going to keep on doing His saving work. His truth keeps marching on. You can't stop that. So what He does, He challenges us in this verse, as He died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. Offer people the true freedom that comes from knowing Christ. He whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Y'all still in the house? Amen. All right, I got three more minutes here. I'm going to preach this thing, amen? T doesn't think so, but I am. So not only do we possess our soul, but our strength comes through patience. Isaiah 40 and verse 31, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. How many of y'all ever gotten tired? And you say, well, let me just sit down and take a break. Let me just sit down and regroup here. Patience does that for you. It'll set you down so that you can regroup and you can think about the goodness of the Lord. It'll sit you down so that you can recognize that God is still good, even though your problem is bad. God is still good, even though you're facing things that you never thought you'd have to go through. But the Lord is good. And when you can just sit back and recognize that His goodness and His mercy doesn't just come for a season, but His goodness and His mercy endures out forever. So the challenge that we have, and the thing that we need to think about as we wait upon the Lord, you got to look at the farmer. In his his season, he knows that after maybe 60 or 90 days, he's got to wait on that crop, right? But then here's the thing. He does that season after season after season. Let me tell you something. My daddy never retired. I did. My daddy worked until he was no, James, he worked until he was no longer able to work. But I ain't like farming. Now, I like eating food off the farm, but I... How many know that's hard work?
Amen. Yes.
Amen. And thank God for a desk job. Amen.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Thank God I can. I, you kidding me?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much it pays. Amen. It can pay minimum wage. I got a desk job.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. But the farmer knows something. And I want to say to you, you are a spiritual farmer. Here it is, years later, I thought I'd retired at 18. I'm still farming. Because I still handle the seed of God's word.
Amen.
And as I think about this, every day in my life, I'm to be planting this word of God and being pouring over it in prayer. Pouring over what God said to me in prayer. Lord, I thank you for what you've given me. Lord, I pray that you'd make this work in my life. Help me to be a fruitful field. Don't allow your word to fall on stony ground or on any other kind of ground other than good ground.
Amen.
And it takes a while, but later on you start seeing it. You start seeing the crop come in. How many of y'all ever get those first batch of string beans?
Amen.
There go the farmer in me.
Yes.
Well, go out there and get the butter beans. And 1st of June, that's when you get your peas, your green peas. All right, that's enough farming, right? All right. I got tired already. So the farmer waits for the precious fruit. We're waiting for God to come. May I say to you that the most precious thing in your life is the Lord Jesus. Why is he precious, preacher? Because when no one else could redeem you, Christ did. John the Revelator said, I looked for someone. He said, I wept because there was no one worthy. But all of a sudden, there was a lamb that looked like he had been slain. In the midst of the elders, he came forth, and this lamb died for your sin and for mine. But not only that, this lamb gave us new life. We're living this spiritual life because of Jesus. And I'm telling you, he wants to do more in us just than to start the work. He wants to complete the work that's in us. We owe him so much today. Amen. And that's what the Bible is telling us. Wait for the coming of the Lord. Wait for the fulfillment of everything that God has planned for your life. Because God is that farmer. He's the one that's working on us. He's the one that's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we've got to know that our strength comes from that. But not only does our strength come from that, here's the challenge. We got to accept the rain. You got to accept the rain. Amen. If you can't put up with that former rain and that latter rain, no crops are going to grow. No farmer will weep when it rains if it's a good rain. Amen. Say this with me. Every rain that comes from God is a good rain. I said it's a good rain. So you got to appreciate the rain. Appreciate what God is doing through with you and through you in this process. Now, the rain might make you cry. The rain might search you. But I'm here to tell you, he that hath begun that good work will be faithful to complete it. Accept the rain. Second thing is, stay focused on the truth. Stay focused on the truth. And I bring it to a close with this. Not only should we possess our soul through patience, and not only should we gain strength through patience, but here's the other thing. We got to wait for God to perform it. How do I put this? Okay, here it is. You're not even a co-star in this show. Much less the star. You're not even a co-star. But you're included in the cast. Are you with me? So you said, preacher, who's the star? The star of the show is God Almighty.
Amen.
Now watch this. How many of you all have ever watched a show and it was about your favorite hero?
Amen.
All right. And before the hero shows up, the villain comes, right? And the villain is always going to come and he's going to do something mean. He's tricky and he does something so sinister. Well, let me tell you about this show that we're talking about. And why you got to wait on God to perform it, because you can't bring it to pass. You can't end your problem. Amen? Amen. And for young people that are thinking about copping out through suicide, forget that. Amen. Don't even go that way. Because I'm telling you, if you hang in there, God's going to work this thing out. Amen. So how many of us, we've been waiting. We know that the hero is going to come. We don't know how he's going to do it. Sometimes we hide our eyes. We can't watch because the villain looked like he's doing his thing. Let me tell you what happened in the Bible. There was this man that the villain decided, I'm going to test him. I'm going to try everything that he's got. First, the villain came in, messed up the man's crop, just destroyed his crops. And then the villain came back, destroyed his farm workers. Now his productivity is off. He can't do anything. Came back and destroyed his animals. But the villain just kept on working. And the man said, where's my hero? He had one, but the hero hadn't showed up. The villain came back and said, that was bad, but I got another thing I'm going to do. The man had children that were in the house, and they were having a little luncheon and a party that day, and the villain came in and destroyed the house, killed the man's children. But the hero hadn't showed up yet. And so the villain decided, now, I've been doing pretty good on this thing, and I wanted him to give up on you, but the man kept looking for his hero. Amen. He knew the hero was going to show. Lord, have mercy, let me preach in here. If that wasn't enough, the villain came back and said, you know what, let me touch his body. Let me just afflict him and brought all kind of disease upon his body so that he had sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. And the man kept asking, where is my hero? Has anybody been there? And before the hero showed up, some friends showed up with umbrellas because it was raining. And he said, come on up under my umbrella. Let me talk to you. And he got up under their umbrella, and they were worse than the rain. Amen. They could have stayed at home for any comfort they gave. Even the man's wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? But Job said, all the days of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change comes. I'm going to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He didn't bring me this far to leave me now. And guess what? Right in the middle of the storm, before the curtain was getting ready to go down, the hero showed up. And the hero came in and told Job everything going to be all right. But I want you to know something, Job. I'm not on your time clock. I show up when I get ready. I'll do what I want to do. And then God looked at the friend and said, wait a minute, you owe Job an apology. You were accusing him, but you didn't know his story. You didn't know what I was going to do. You looked at the first half of the program, but you didn't know the end of the program because it wasn't your show. It's God's show. Amen. It's God's program. Yes. And every now and then when it starts raining in my life and somebody offers me an umbrella, I tell them, that's all right. I'm going to wait until my change comes because I know the Lord will make a way. I got to close up here. We're supposed to be in Sunday school, and here we are. But it says, be patient.
Yes.
Establish your heart. Establish your heart for the coming of the Lord. Draweth nigh.
Yes.
I'm about at the age now, I'm looking at one or two things. One, I'm looking at old age. And Kim, it ain't looking too good. Because you wake up in the morning, you wonder what else is going to hurt. But then the other thing that's kind of staring me is a tombstone. Huh? But I'm not looking at either one of them. I'm looking for a hero.
Amen. Thank you.
Because my hero got hid behind a stone. And on the third, don't let me preach no more. Y'all tell me, sit down, preacher. But my hero came through. And if I know that he can roll away the stone in his own time. Yeah, when I get behind the stone, I'm not worried about it. I'm just going, I can't do anything else but just wait on it. So if I'm going to wait then, why can't I wait now? Knowing that he's a way maker. Knowing that he's a burden bearer. Knowing that he's a friend that never lost a friend. Because his name is Jesus. Amen. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Everybody to stand. Be patient for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Father, I thank you for this message. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. If there's someone here who's never answered as you call them, let this be the day that they will say yes to the Lord and yes to your will. Help all of us as saints to say yes to patience, to say yes, do the perfect work. Yes, complete what God has for me, that I might be entire and not lacking anything in my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Very quickly, we want to extend the invitation. If there be one today, perhaps you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus, and today is a good day. Today would be that day that you'd say, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him with gladness. If that's you today, we invite you to come. Is there one today?